allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We get member attendance?
Sure. Mr. Andrew Belver is present, Mr. Ray Willis, Mr. Bob DeLorenzo, Mr. Roman Bonanno, and Mr. Anthony McNada are present.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
We going to go for approval of the previous meeting minutes? Is there any?
Yeah, we had no questions about it at the workshop, right?
No. No, everything looked
pretty
good.
I'll just make a motion, we approved the previous.
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Right, so moved. Next on the list is, we have a curative amendment proposal from DEPG.
That's correct. I'm Anthony Waldron. I'm here on behalf of DEPG. And last week I submitted a proposed curative amendment. That came about really after some discussions at the planning, or at the supervisors meeting back in mid-February, I guess it was. And so we proposed a curative amendment that was really designed to address what was raised first by your zoning officer back in the letter dated January 17th to an initial submission for a conditional use. And in that letter, he indicated that there is no provisions really for multi-use, multiple commercial uses on one site, is really how I would define it. And which in fact was in the proposal we submitted. Now the conditional use was not accepted for a couple different reasons, but before we corrected those, which one of which was to submit a zoning permit application, even though this was clearly going to go to the conditional use process, we felt we needed to address that issue. And after some discussion about whether it should be a use not provided for, which is somewhat open-ended process, it was suggested actually by Attorney McNada that maybe a curative amendment would be worth considering. It makes sense to us because it does allow to have it would still be a conditional use process, that's for sure. But it would kind of at least define some parameters of what the township would be most concerned about, and also allow us to plan how the development should be laid out, both physically and also in terms of ownership and relationship between the individual businesses that would be on the one property. The property, of course, being next door here. So there would be one common ownership of the property, but there would be, if you will, individual ownerships of the various proposed businesses. All of the things that had been originally proposed, and they might get revised a little bit before we go back and resubmit a conditional use application, but one of the provisions in there says, first of all, this would be available in the DD zone, because quite frankly, with the township just has three zones, and the other two zones are really not, certainly given the list of types of uses that are in those zones, really not amenable to something that would be a multiple commercial use. Plus, the way the zoning map works, the zone is along the highway for a reason. That's where normally you find commercial. So all the uses we're proposing are already uses that are allowed by conditional use or possibly even permitted use, but they are allowed in that same zoning district that the property is located in. So we're not asking to change anything in terms of mapping-wise or new uses that aren't in that zone that would be allowed, other than this catch-all use, which is being called multi-use. I, quite frankly, and Andrew, I'm sure, has dealt with this kind of stuff from time to time, there's not that many municipalities in Pike County, and I know all 13 of them, 12 of which have zoning. One doesn't still. Green Township still does not have zoning. But even Porter Township has a zoning ordinance. But there's not many ordinances in Pike and Wayne counties anyway that does provide for multi-use. Now, I've been involved with a number of projects where there are just two uses. But I do admit, when you get to three or more, it gets more involved in terms of traffic issues, parking issues, things like that. So we tried to cover looking at some ordinances, quite frankly, from a little closer to where Andrew lives, down in the Lehigh Valley, that kind of thing. I actually consulted with Carson Helfrich, who I know that some of you know, he kind of pointed me to some things that, you know, we kind of borrowed from. And so that's how this curative amendment got developed. There's probably a few original words in there of mine, but probably 80% is you know, what looks like works in other places. So that's just an introduction. The idea, I did submit a letter, an email, but then I submitted a letter last week clarifying that this is for discussion purposes only. The clock is not running. Clock never really started to run on the conditional use because it was not accepted. But I reiterated that in the letter just so there wouldn't be any confusion. That's where we are.
Appreciate that. So, is there a plan associated with the sketch?
There is. You know, and actually we went through the plan. I did not bring the plan, but I can show you the plan on my laptop.
Do you guys have that? Have you seen it?
The conditional use plan was submitted.
Okay.
A bunch of copies were.
Okay.
In fact, December 31st, that's how I remember the day.
It was actually in the newspaper.
Yeah, but I can show you it on my laptop, just so you get an idea of it.
Okay.
Well, it's public, so.
There are four proposed uses.
Any issue with me looking at it for the zoning?
I don't think so. Tony, you chime in, but if the applicant who may come before the Board of Supervisors on a conditional use agrees that this gentleman as a supervisor can remain in for this informal discussion, then they would waive any potential conflict. They waive the ability to contest the supervisor sitting on the Board of Supervisors to decide the conditional use down the road.
And I think this is for informational purpose only, as Attorney Walter indicated, it's for discussion. So we're not really making any decisions or doing anything with regard to this time. So okay. I don't have any problem with you staying here. Although I do believe that the supervisors did, at one of their meetings, indicate that they wanted to stay out of it. Hello, Mr. DePetris, how are you?
He's going to go out and get a paper plan, which will be a little easier to see. The other thing is, we're here really just to talk about the curative amendment.
Yes.
So from that point of view, that has to be, you know, obviously that's going to be adopted if it works.
Right.
To
my mind, if you're coming forward with a plan, it's almost makes more sense, and it sounds like you did it this way, to submit the plan to make sure that it works from a
or at least work off of a sketch.
High perspective. Yeah, and look at the sketch, and then kind of back into the.
No, I agree. And Tony McNaught and I have talked about this. In fact, I think he dealt with this in some townships. I've represented a number of townships where I was on the other side of the table, and sometimes what we've said is, all right, we've gotten to a point where the curative amendment looks like it could work, but we're not going to adopt it until you submit the formal plan, so that we make sure what we're getting if you do amend your ordinance. So you don't have it amended and then have something entirely different walk in the door and try and fit into that ordinance, you know.
Makes
sense. So I don't have a problem with doing that. In fact, we want to, because it allows it to kind of start tracking together.
And to my mind, you want to take a look at the sketch plan to make sure it makes sense.
Right.
A lot of details to come, but make sure it makes sense. And then B, for any of these proposed ordinances coming from the solicitor, coming from special counsel, coming from an applicant, you want to make sure that there's no unintended consequences, right? Mm-hmm. So is there a big hole in here that we're just not aware of? So I suggest that we can go through it. We can talk about different aspects, but we want to take a look at this. We probably want to get the zoning officer's input and to advise you, because he knows the zoning code back and forth. Thank you.
And we can explain that to the extent that it's needed, but it's pretty good. There's four proposed
out front here.
Sites.
This is
and four guy. Proposed is, uses.
Okay, we're sitting right here. Okay,
yeah,
got
just
it.
To give you an idea.
Good. Thank you.
So as I recall it, Tony, the uses are proposed are a convenience store, gas station type.
That would be one use, yes.
And then the other uses are a restaurant,
hotel,
a hotel and a medical use.
A medical facility. The medical facility may change as this process is going along.
This isn't the one that has the medical facility on. This isn't the most recent that you submitted, though.
We
I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, we believe that particular institution that we were tracking has elected to go north.
So this is a newer version from the one that you presented last time?
Yeah, it's dated February 12th.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen this.
The one that was submitted on December 31st did show a medical facility.
Yes.
And ideally it was going to be the what's sometimes referred to as the micro hospital that Pike County's been working on. In fact, when I was commissioner, I was working on that as well. And it's been narrowed down to two sites. This was one that they were considering. But the other site is a little, it's not far from here, but I don't think it's been formally decided. But we don't want to keep pushing for something that probably isn't happening, so.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Okay.
Anybody want to take a look at that down?
We have not submitted this plan to the township yet.
Right.
But the property doesn't change, and really the sightings haven't changed in terms of where they'd be positioned.
Yeah, just a little bit of the layout. The convenience or the gas pumps got moved to the middle.
And where the stormwater would be collected and where the sewer would go, those things have not changed.
Okay, yeah. Basically out.
And the access, but that's a PennDOT. Now, our engineer, Patrick McLean, from over in Scranton, he has already done some pre-submission with PennDOT to get their inquiry, you know, feelings about it. Because, of course, there's issues with that. There's also the fact that there's property on the other side of the road, which is not part of our project. It is commonly owned, or at least currently it's commonly owned by the Santos family.
Oh, okay.
The Santos family is under agreement with Jim for this side, the piece on this side. Okay.
We have a right of first refusal, and we're negotiating with them to put that.
For the other side, but we have no plans.
Oh, no plans and no agreement on the other side. Okay.
Right.
We do have a scooping meeting with PennDOT, actually for April 4th, I think.
Is this in Memphis County?
So.
Are they going to, is it going to be a single?
That's a farming road.
Ingress and egress?
For them to get the machine.
At this point, yes.
Yeah, it looked like on the plan, Tony, there was a.
You mean for this, or you mean for this project? Yeah, it's still the same entrance.
There's Main, but there also looked like there was a dive-in, probably one way.
Right turn in.
Okay, and is there a right turn out only, or just the main entrance?
It's not been proposed yet.
Okay.
If they required it, or if the township felt there was a need, there is a dirt road, if you will, that runs along the edge of the property that's being considered. And borders right on the fence from our township here,
yes.
Which is an access to land that goes below the property we're working on. The county actually acquired the land along the riverfront.
Okay.
If you go a few hundred yards that way, you'll hit the Delaware River. And they acquired that for limited purposes, not really developable. But,
okay.
Mm-hmm. The main.
Yeah. So I thought there are a couple different. Now, after looking at some of these things, there's a couple places where this is done as sort of an overlay district, but that didn't make any sense for this situation. I didn't think anyway. That doesn't mean to say we wouldn't be opposed to it,
right.
Because as long as it's allowed in this particular zone, if you want to have in other zones, we're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of where it would fit. Also, you're not going to put more than two uses on a property that's less than about 10 acres or more or 20.
Yeah.
So we had some minimum sizing there.
Yeah, you could have minimum 7 acres, right?
Yeah. To try and at least, you know, say, oh, don't try and squeeze a whole bunch of uses on a 3-acre piece or a 2-acre piece.
Right, that makes sense.
They should have to be all the outside.
Yeah.
With its access rooms. Meets our audience.
Mm-hmm. It's just these are tight here.
Maximum lot coverage is 75%.
What's it now under DD?
Yeah.
It's, Bob, is the maximum lot coverage, is it 65% with special consideration of the supervisor for 75%?
Yes.
Yes.
But those are the type of questions I'd want Sean to raise,
of course,
and to answer for us, so that we understand.
Okay, this will be handy to review while we're looking at the ordinance, the curative amendment.
The If you would want to note that that's a conceptual plan that has not been submitted formally to the township.
No, but...
We have no problem with sharing it with you.
That's fine, that's fine.
So nobody gets confused or think we're trying to do something inappropriate.
Based off, no, no, based off of what you presented is what we're going to look at to compare the curate amendment.
Yep, no, that's right. That makes good sense.
And, you know...
Well, he was saying, while you guys were discussing, he was saying that they would be kind of submitted at, like, the curative amendment wouldn't be passed until the plans were submitted, so that they would kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, I understand that, but this gives us something to look at that and look at this.
Of course, yeah, okay. For comparison.
Maybe this has got to be changed or that's got to be, you know, it's something to compare to. It's not that I'm saying we're going to do that.
There was also some mention made, I think it was even Kevin Shroy might have brought it up, about how's it work in terms of ownership and shared uses?
Yeah.
I kind of put some parameters in there. That doesn't have to be the end-all and be-all. But the idea that the township obviously wants to make sure that there's provisions for maintenance and who gets to use what areas and that kind of thing. And obviously, because my client intends to be still the ultimate owner of the property, they want to make sure they're getting compensated for whatever common services are going on. So we're... parking, traffic, you know, snow clearing, maintenance, all that kind of stuff, you know.
So what would be the footprint? What would be the lot that would be sold to each of the businesses that would
be? It would be at least 20,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. Could be bigger, conceivably. And I don't know that they're all going to be exactly the same, right?
More than likely, it will be done in a condominium fashion.
Okay.
We've done that a lot.
We've done that in Smithfield.
In Smithfield, there's a St. Luke's. And next to that is a Wawa, and next to that is a new Dunkin'.
Right on 209 before you get to 80 there?
Right, yeah.
We have total control as the owner of all of the condo lots. Because you want total control. You don't want one owner going off half crazy. It's total control.
So the question I would have there would be, if they buy... like they want to buy the building that they're putting there. Mm-hmm. Is it just the footprint of the building that they're buying?
It sounds to me like you're selling space, not the building.
Right.
Correct?
It can go either way, but for instance, with the St. Luke's, the condo is actually the building lot and everything else around it is a common area that we control.
So the parking you control, they control the exterior of the building?
That was my question.
Yes, they control the exterior.
So they can make building modifications to...
Subject to our approval, yes.
Okay, only subject to your approval.
I've been involved with what we did in the state and airspace. The IGA supermarket in Hawley, the building itself is actually, and the air above it is owned by one entity, but the land is all owned by a separate entity, which is actually different parties. And then they have an easement to be able to park on the other client's land and you know, that type of thing. That's used commonly in that kind of...
Well, that's where I was.
Back when shopping centers were the thing to build, which they aren't anymore, that was done oftentimes. Like a Macy's would have, they'd own the building, but not the land underneath it.
Right, that's why I was asking, do you sell the building footprint? Just the building itself.
In Bartonsville, at 611 Plaza, we did a multi-use building that has a Chick-fil-A, a Taco Bell, a new storage facility, and a small strip center. Each of them, the condo is the parcel and the ground around it, and then there's a common area, which is the drive into it. And what happens is each of the condos take care of their own maintenance of their area, but we control the common area, and they all pay a share of the snow removal, insurance, taxes of the common drive.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the common area is to make up for what's missing in the lot area where they're buying?
Well, the things that are there might even be shared. For example, like shared lighting.
No,
you know,
let me get a little more to the point. Mm-hmm. If the property is being owned by whoever bought the building, then it's kind of like, is it a subdivision? Because then if it didn't meet the ordinance, it would be a non-conforming.
His condominium is a better example. You know,
right.
Just like a multi
Yeah, condominiums, they own their space.
Yeah, they own the space within the four walls.
Right.
And they have rights to use other parts, the common areas.
Right.
But they don't own those, and they don't get the control.
Okay, I understand that.
Sometimes an association.
I'm getting a little confused the way we were talking.
No, you're right. But yes, that's how it really would work. And whether you call it condominium or airspace, I don't think it's going to matter so much as who controls and who's responsible.
I mean, if they're owning the building but not the land underneath it, then it's not a subdivision.
No, that's right.
You mentioned that the tax portions, when they purchase the building and the footprint, they're paying the taxes on that square footage, or the taxes are paid by.
They also pay a pro rata share of the land.
Of the common,
yeah.
So they pay a portion of both.
Yeah.
And the taxing entities.
So what do you use it as a ratio? You pay the.
Yes, they pay a share.
So if they have a larger building that they bought, they'll pay a larger portion of taxes than somebody that.
The next time we meet, we'll actually bring in a footprint of a project or two and take you through how it works.
What's owned and what's coming.
Okay. Okay.
That'd be helpful.
But the taxing authorities are coming to you as the overall owner to pay the taxes.
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah. So who gets the tax bill?
Yeah.
You get the tax bill?
Well, there'll be two, because if they buy it in the condominium form, they're going to get a deed. The deed is going to have limitations. They're still going to get a deed, and so that thing that they bought, the box they bought, would be taxed separately.
So they buy it and it's theirs to sell at that point.
With limitations, yes.
With certain restrictions, yes.
Yeah.
With restrictions and
usually there's
deed covenants.
Oftentimes there's a buyback, but there's also wait a minute, you can't sell it to use that's not allowed here, for example.
Right.
Tony, right. What's your thinking if they're gonna create a deed and a separate tax parcel, I would assume, for each of these buildings, is that a subdivision?
It would certainly seem to be, but the whole planned unit commercial development concept is very similar to cluster development residential. So I'm listening to what's happening, and let me just ask this question. If it were to be the four business units and you control the common areas, the idea here is the rest of that space would then become open space that's not used for parking or maintenance?
No, the rest of the space would be the common area that would be controlled by the developer, owner. It would be used, some of it would be open space, but it would be open space because it's also serving another use, like sewage system disposal.
Right. That's what I'm getting.
Yes. Some of it would be used for parking.
So,
meaning if Wawa were to buy a building and the area that they would be operating in, if they were in there, they wouldn't necessarily own all the parking area, I don't believe, right? That would be still under common ownership.
Right. So let me state it this way then. So the four units that you contemplate, Mr. DePetris, on putting on site, each of those units is going to be deemed to be like a condominium.
That's right.
Unit.
Yes.
And it will have a separate deed for the footprint. All the common areas remain with the developer, and
more than likely it will be the condo would be the building and the lot around it.
Without subdividing.
Yeah, but the drive in, the drive connecting will all be common areas, which would be under our control. And all the tenants, but the condo owners, would pay a share of the cost of the common area.
Right, I understand that. I understand that. But I think the question that Andrew asked is, if you're actually cutting a parcel out and deeding it out, is that a subdivision for our subdivision of land development ordinance purposes? And I believe that the answer would be yes, unless we have a separate condominium type of of use here. So
I think, Tony, maybe perhaps we could send you copies.
We
could send you copies of what we did in Smithfield and their ordinance, because it works like a subdivision. I mean, it's not exactly a subdivision, but each lot, is individually owned. And in some cases, we own them if we don't sell them.
It's a business park, basically.
Right, and then there would be a land development plan that would be, in effect, approved in the same way that a subdivision plan would be under your ordinance, but without necessarily dividing up individual lots. It's more the use of the area that's going to be built on that they would be acquiring.
But there's a lot of control by the master developer. Signage, okay, things like that, the maintaining of the properties. We police everything. So it is a unified development.
Okay, but I think the concern that I would have would be that we're going to need to set strict parameters. And Andy, I don't know if you agree or not, but I think we're going to need to set strict parameters for lot sizes and as far as these types of developments are concerned. I mean, you're proposing a minimum lot area for the PUCD lot of 7 acres, 20,000 square feet for each principal use doesn't seem like a whole lot. Well, I've seen blah lots that are bigger than 20,000 square feet.
No doubt, yeah. And this one's referencing 16 pumps. That'll be a big one. All right, well, there's some issues.
Yeah, I think that's some
issues to work through.
Yeah. One other question I would have is if a business buys, let's say, a building, and for some reason goes out of business and just abandons the building, what happens there? Do you take the building back?
We try to negotiate that. We're not always successful in doing that. If they're closed for more than a certain time, they can be in default. But, you know...
Well, if the financing is through, you know, through a financial institution, how can you would try to negotiate with the bank? Or I mean, what's your avenue for that statement?
For instance, if Chick-fil-A were to close in Bartonsville,
okay,
it's their building, it's their property, they're going to try to sublease it and go out and find a tenant. But that new tenant has to live by the rules that Chick-fil-A agreed to.
Okay.
And it's a lot of control. A lot of control.
I'm just more concerned with the
degradation of the building by being unoccupied.
Okay. It's no different.
I'll say it.
That's
a concern.
It's no different if it was subdivided. You know, somebody could close and, you know, I think that the kind of ownership gives the master developer a lot of control to set parameters in the agreement.
Right, but control also means confinement, which means that there's it's not as appealing to a broad spectrum of people that are going to have interest in it.
And that's sort of remain vacant.
And then it'll
I would love to,
that's
again,
where I'm going.
I would love and to then get everybody in a bus down to Stroud Township or Smithfield and show you developments that we've done that are condominium ownerships. We'll share our documents with Tony. It's really thought out.
We're simply putting out what ifs.
We just don't want to see it fall into disrepair.
We're not saying that your business plan is bad or we don't believe you or anything like that and that you're not successful. What we're saying is the what ifs.
Yeah, well. Right.
What happened? What happens?
That's what we have to worry about. Yeah. You know, you see all these businesses go in and they flourish for 5 years because it's new, it's fresh, it's this, it's that. The business then fails. We're stuck with empty buildings in our township.
And good planning is looking down the road when you and you we're all retired and living somewhere else.
Exactly.
And then what happens when it fails? It doesn't have your momentum behind it.
But that's true. As he pointed out, if we sold off two lots, somebody builds on it, we can't guarantee that they're going to go forever. But But that doesn't mean that the subdivision wouldn't get approved.
Yeah, we're not saying that they got to go forever. Oh, okay. We just want to see the buildings go into disrepair or become an eyesore because they're empty and nobody.
We want someone to take responsibility
for
it. Well,
the control thing I think is relevant because, after all, it's in their best interest to make sure that.
I mean, is it possible like they can take in favor?